And a good Saturday morning. Welcome into another edition of Ask the Experts. It's a great day to stay inside and listen to the radio, so we're glad you joined us. And back with us for the first time in 2012, look, well, you can't, it's the radio. Listen, it's the folks from Power Mortgages. Hello.
Hi, Dave. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Good morning to you, Dave.
Good morning. Oh, didn't hear Jess.
I'm still here.
There we go.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. All right. We're all on board. Kevin Power, Ann Turner, and Jess Turner of Power Mortgages are my guests this morning. And as you listen to the show, if you'd like more information, go online to powermortgages.ca. So we're going to kick the new year off with a topic that seems to have come back to the fore with some new life breathed into it. The rent-to-own real estate market seems to have come back from where? Nowhere? Was it always around?
Yeah, it was always around, Dave. In Canada, it was always private. There would be a person who wasn't having too much success selling their home, and so their way out of it was to offer it for rent to own. That meant that they got a buyer in, you know, someone who needed, who for many reasons may not have had the money to purchase. And they rented, and part of their rental payment went toward the purchase, and they would have an agreement that some years down the road that this person would then get a mortgage and take this off the landlord's hands. It was primarily a tool of vendors who were having difficulty selling their property, and it worked, but it very seldom happened. It was an unusual case, and I think we handled maybe one in the last 20 years?
Yes.
And yep. That's it.
And that, correct me if I'm wrong, when mortgages first appeared, I don't know, hundreds of years ago?
Not
sure. This is kind of like what those first mortgages were, correct?
Yes. You know, people don't realize that mortgaging property has been around for hundreds of years. And the earliest incantation of a mortgage, what happened is that the owner of the property would let the person live in the property, and they didn't make mortgage payments. But they were called upon to save money and then make one big balloon payment, what's called a balloon payment, all at once, that paid for the property. And there was a time fixed to it, and a very strict time. And if it had to be at noon on May 10th, 1689, if you were there at 12:01, you lost all those years that you've been living and saving in that property, you lost the property. So the unscrupulous owners of properties would often then set people on the road to delay them on their way to make their payments and that sort of thing so that they didn't have the ability to pay this mortgage or this property off. I mean, in the meantime, they were making payments of rent of some kind, and they would lose all of that.
Oh, okay.
And this was also at a time when there was no registry office. Deeds for property were kept in people's homes in little boxes, and totally different from now. But the rent-to-own seems to have its history in this kind of action, where people get to live in the property without owning it. They're, in fact, tenants until a certain point in time, and then they must come up with the money on that date, or everything they've done to the property, everything that they have paid into it to stay there is lost.
Okay. So it looks like there has been a renewed interest in it in the recent months. So today we're going to have a look at that and see why there's more interest in rent-to-own. And we'll take a look at some of the pros and cons and who benefits from it. So you kind of just already told us what the idea behind rent-to-own is. But in these modern days, how is it supposed to work?
Basically, Dave, it's the program is designed for somebody who wants to become homeowners today but are not in a position for any number of reasons. Typically, it's lack of an established credit history or lack of a positive established credit history or previous credit issues that are preventing people from obtaining a mortgage today, or people whose income, if it's got a variable content to it, if they're self-employed or if they are a commission-driven salesperson and they don't have the necessary timeline or paperwork at present in order to be able to qualify for a mortgage, it's a tool that gets somebody into a home ownership agreement as of today they do not take title to the property. They're actually living in it as a tenant with the option to close at the end of the term. Basically, these things are kind of timelined to basically put people in a position that they qualify for mortgage in order to be able to complete the sale agreement or complete on the close at a specific time in the future. Rent-to-own agreements typically will run anywhere from a term of 1 to 5 years is the actual timeline. People do not get title to the property until they complete the sale, at which time basically the balance of the money owing under the rent-to-own agreement is actually passed over to the vendor.
So paint me a picture here of the typical sort of buyer who'd be interested in this kind of ownership.
Well, as Kevin was talking about, somebody who's not at the exact moment, they want to buy a home, but they don't quite qualify. So perhaps they do have poor credit and they need to rebuild it, or they don't have an established credit history. Possibly they're self-employed for less than 2 years. They're having a hard time finding a mortgage. There's maybe been some job loss or divorce or health issues, things that have caused them to have a little bit poorer credit. Maybe they're having a hard time saving as big of a down payment as they would need. And, they're paying high rent and they're finding that hard to save that down payment. And it's a way to force themselves to save for it. Lack of credit history, even established, is another big one for maybe younger people or newer people to Canada.
So we know who the interested buyer might be. In this type of transaction, who would be the vendor?
Well, as we said, traditionally it was a vendor who couldn't seem to sell their property on the open market. And that may be because it wasn't in a good location, it wasn't as attractive as some other properties, or that it was priced too high. So for those reasons, the vendor would sell it. We find now that there are investor groups are coming together to purchase a stock of properties, which they then let out in this market, this rent-to-own market, where they take a down payment from the purchasing couple and give them a lease and then an option and put them into the house. And all of those things are negotiable, but it is an investor-backed property as opposed to a single vendor. It's a group of investors that have decided to take on this role as a way of making money for themselves.
Sometimes, though, you will see on a smaller scale somebody who does own a property that they do rent out make a deal with a current tenant in the property who is interested in purchasing it.
All right. Now, I haven't heard a lot about this, really, to be honest, but there've got to be some misconceptions and some truisms to this. So what are some of the beliefs around the concept of a rent to own, and are they true?
Well, I guess the biggest misconceptions around it is that when you get yourself into a lease to own, that once you've moved into that property, you own it. And nothing could be further from the truth. You don't own it. What you own is an option. And an option is a very familiar thing in real estate. But it's usually something we see in commercial real estate as opposed to private real estate. Would you like to explain an option, Jess?
Well, in this case, what an option is it is essentially, well, we all know what the word option means, but the ability to choose at a prearranged purchase date to purchase that property or not. So at the very beginning, the purchaser or potential purchaser will pay a down payment. Throughout the time that they're living there, they're paying a rental payment and an increased portion, which is actually dedicated to go towards more down payment. At the specified date, they can purchase the property with an additional balloon payment, and it's their choice, so that's what the option is. However, if they opt not to purchase, they lose not only their initial down payment, but every payment they made monthly along the way that was supposed to go just towards down payment.
An option basically is a right. The person buys the option. That's all they're buying is the option, and it gives them a right. And in the case of rent-to-own, they're purchasing the right to purchase this particular property that they are renting at the time and nothing else. And that purchase option is gained by the down payment that's required at the beginning and the monthly increased rental payments over and above market rent that they're paying to over time to hold that option for you. But there are many ways for this option to go very wrong for a rent-to-own purchase.
Yeah, one of the other biggest misconceptions about rent-to-own, Dave, is the ability to get in a rent-to-own situation without any money down, either as a down payment or as a deposit. We've had numerous calls over quite a few years now, actually, asking about rent-to-own, or we have people applying for mortgages that don't qualify today and asking whether or not they would qualify under a rent-to-own program. And most of the, unless it's some really strange private arrangement with family members or something, typically most of the investors that are into the rent-to-own arena are actually into a position that you've got to have a fairly significant deposit before they will be interested in renting or arranging a rent-to-own program with you.
All right, well, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk a bit more about the requirements for getting into a rent-to-own and some of the expectations of the buyer and the purchaser. If you've got questions for Kevin, Ann, and Jess, give us a call now. Our lines are open at 519-570-2545, out of town 1-800-570-5715, or star 570, hands-free on your cell phone. And they don't have to be questions specifically about rent-to-own. They can be anything to do with mortgages. So we'll be back with more of Ask the Experts with Power Mortgages in just a couple of minutes here on 570 News. On the show today, Kevin Power, Ann Turner, and Jess Turner of Power Mortgages. You'll find them at 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo and online at powermortgages.ca. Our topic today, rent to own, and we'll get right back to that in a minute. After we hear from Kevin, for the first time in 2012, it's time for Kevin's rate specials.
Well, isn't that just lovely, Dave? I thought you were going to forget all about me on
no,
the first show
no,
back.
No forgetting.
No forget today. Anyway, as we have said for an extended period of time, rates are certainly a significant, important factor when shopping for and choosing a mortgage. However, it's not the only consideration that should be put into place when it comes to looking at mortgages. Best rate doesn't always necessarily mean the best product and the best mortgage option that's available to people. And the last 2 weeks, or I guess a little over the last 2 weeks right now, Bank of Montreal created a big stir all over the place with their two-week special offering on five-year mortgage money at 2.99%.
Let's talk about that at the end of the show. That's a very interesting one.
Yeah. If we have time.
Okay.
We will.
Okay. Anyway, I guess I've been told already, man. I'm only 28 days into the year, and I've been told 28 times already where to go. But Ann does it in such a nice way. She tells me to go to hell on a regular basis, and I look forward to the trip.
Excellent. I'm so glad.
It's warm, yes.
It makes me look forward to the end of the show all the more. So,
5-year fixed money today, closing in 120 days, 3.35%. We have a quick close special interest rate available to new business only closing by the end of March, 3.29%. We have a variable rate mortgage today available at Prime. Prime today is at 3%, so there's no minus, no positive on it. It's 3% even. With the kind of 5-year fixed term interest rates that are being offered today, don't actually see an awful lot of people that are inquiring about variable, and my own personal opinion is there's such a small spread between the 5-year fixed and 5-year variable today that 5-year fixed is probably the best option for people to look at. We have tremendous interest rates. We have one lender that's really gone very aggressively after the extended term mortgage products today. Both 7 and 10 year terms are now available at an interest rate of 3.99%. And we can guarantee that interest rate for up to 120 days.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's 7 or 10 year money at 3.99%. And as Anna said before, she would jump on that.
Absolutely. To carry a mortgage for 10 years at less than 4%, absolutely astounding. You can, what that lets you do is look ahead 10 years and know exactly what your mortgage payment's going to be each and every month without any variation whatsoever.
So if you'd like to take advantage of these spectacular rates, then all you have to do is call Kevin right after the show at 519-240-2967. That's 519-240-2967. Back to the topic at hand. Today we're discussing rent to own. And before the break, Kevin kind of touched on the myth about the requirements of getting into one of these deals. So what are the real requirements for getting into a rent to own?
Maybe I'll touch on that. And what's going to be required for your own protection is a lease or an agreement. And another requirement that a lot of people think they don't need is the down payment. So I'm going to give you basically an example here of how it would work. Let's say you find a property that's worth about $200,000 and you make a written agreement with the option to purchase. And the time frame is 2 years down the line. Okay, so in 2 years, you're going to have this option to purchase the property. However, you are going to have to make a down payment of, in this case, 5%. Okay, so 5% of $200,000 is $10,000. So first requirement, you're coming up with $10,000. Next thing, you have to pay your monthly rent as well as an increased portion, which is going to go towards saving as a down payment towards the future purchase price. So let's say you're paying a total of $1,700. We'll say about $1,360 is going to be your rent. That means another $340 is going monthly towards your down payment. And since it's a two-year term, by the end of 2 years, that's an extra $8,160. So by 2 years, you've actually put in $18,160 towards the purchase price. If you choose not to go ahead and purchase this property, all that money is gone. Okay, so you do need to be aware of that. And that's something people don't realize too. That's another misconception. They think if they don't go ahead, they might get their money back. But there's another catch here is it's what's the agreed upon purchase price? Sometimes it's a set price and it remains that way, but quite often it's based on an increase. So they will say the purchase price is $200, but we're going to do a increase of value 5% for each year. So by the end of the two-year time period, the actual purchase price is $220,500 less your $18,160 that have gone towards it, and you need to come up with a mortgage at that point for the remainder of $202,340. If you do not qualify at that point in time for a mortgage, if you cannot find that money, you're out your $18,000.
So in fact, what's happened is that you've moved into a home worth $200,000 market value. At the end of 2 years, you have given up over $18,000 in down payment, and you now must get a mortgage for $202,000, which is more than the original purchase price. That seems a little stiff to me.
I'm glad you said that, because my initial reaction is, that sounds horrible. I wouldn't want to get myself into that at all, but I also understand for some people, it makes sense for them financially, because they want to get in the house sooner than later. But no, that just doesn't seem right to me.
Now, there's the other side to that, and this is that, you know, everybody's looking for a great deal. So maybe not in the side where you've got a group of investors that are, you know, well-rehearsed on how to protect the possible increase in value of the property and protect themselves, but maybe you have a landlord who owns a property and wants to sell it but decides, maybe I'll try this lease to own with somebody. They actually may have a set price, and it remains that, you know, for 2 years later. However, the person who's buying it might think they're going to have a good deal, but you don't know what it's going to be worth 2 years from now.
Well, we'll continue talking about renting to own in a few minutes. And yes, wrap it up. That's what Anna's doing. If only you could see her right
yes,
now.
Yes, that threw me off.
Hysterical.
All the arm motions threw me off.
The only thing missing is the disco ball.
So when we come back, we'll talk a bit more about what's expected of the buyer and what are the benefits of rent to own. So far, I don't know if I've heard any benefits, but we'll find out. We'll come back with more of Ask the Experts with Power Mortgages in just a few minutes here on 570 News. Welcome back on the show today from Power Mortgages. Kevin Power and Turner and Jess Turner join me. You'll find their office at 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo, and you can give them a call at 519-886-1993. Right now, though, we've got someone calling in with a question. Let's go over to the phones and talk to Jim. Hi, Jim. You're on 570 News.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Jim. How are you doing?
Very good. I got a question. I have a mortgage. I got about 7-year amortization left on it, and I guess I've been doing some looking around, and what I can get is 2.49 for 2 years, 2.89 for 4 years, and I hear you saying 3.99 for 7 years, and I'm just thinking, gee whiz, I thought I had my mind made up, but I'm sitting here wondering kind of, I don't think rates are going to go anywhere within the 2 to 4 year time period. So I'm thinking probably taking the lower interest rate and putting that money back into the mortgage to get it paid off quick. However, bottom line is as I said, I only have 7 years left on it. But, or do I, like in your advice, do you just lock it in for the 3.99 for 7 years and then forget about it and then you don't have to worry about it?
Yeah, I guess, Jim, to give you a broad answer on your question, if you're making either weekly or biweekly accelerated payments, you may very well have less than 7 years left to go on your mortgage in total anyway.
No, I'm taking that into account.
Oh, okay, so you probably got 10 years or so left, and factoring in the accelerated payments, you're going to pay it off in 7 years.
Exactly, that's the goal.
Okay, I think if you... And my suggestion would be the 3.99 for a 7-year term may not necessarily be your best option for you. And in the same breath, looking at taking a 2-year interest rate may not be your best option either. If you do a 2-year rate, more than likely rates are going to be higher 2 years from now as opposed to today.
That's kind of what I'm looking at. That is what I was looking at, was the 2-year at 2.49, but now with rates, the specials that are out there, I'm thinking, gee whiz, maybe pay 0.5% more and lock it in for a longer period and, just do whatever you can to get it paid off in 5 years instead of 7, but I don't want to stretch myself.
Exactly, yeah. Doing a 5-year term would, in my opinion, be your better option at this point in time, and even though you may very well have a balance left on it, at the end of the term, even a significant increase in interest rates would have minimal impact on your payment at that point in time, because you've done such a good job on paying it down. You're really only going to have about 2 years left anyway.
That's the point that I was kind of figuring. Regardless of what happened in 5 years' time, very likely there's going to be a small enough amount that regardless what the interest rate is, it shouldn't hurt me too much. It might take a little bit longer to pay off, but I mean, bottom line would be is that it would be down to a very manageable time frame.
Exactly, and so with that in mind, 5 years certainly would be a good option for you, and if we can help you out in searching out a great rate for you, we'll welcome the opportunity.
Okay, I do have one question about your lease to own, just for one of my kids. Who does the lease to own? Is it through a bank?
No, it's actually a private arrangement, either through a private vendor or a company, an investment company that's bought property specifically for the purchase of offering them for sale under a rent-to-own agreement.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess when you're talking with some of them, may have, say, a 5% annual increase. Is it conceivable the property may not go up by 5% each year, so you might be paying more for the property than what it's actually worth?
Yes, that's true. And, if it's a private agreement with a private owner of a property, you might have a different type of agreement than you would from an investor's group. But stay tuned, because we're going to talk about some tips for the lease, for the actual agreement, and maybe if we have some time about a a scam that's going on with the rent-to-own, lease-to-own programs as well.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Jim. Thank you for your call.
And if you'd like to call in and get your questions answered, 519-570-2545. Out of town, 1-800-570-5715. And if you're out and about today, drive carefully and call us hands-free. It's on your cell phone. It's *570. So before the break, we said we'd talk a little bit more about what's expected of the buyer in a rent-to-own deal. So what's expected? Tell me.
Make your payments.
That's generally expected, yes.
Well, make your payments. Keep property in good order. You know, you have a responsibility of that. Bear in mind, the whole time, you are a tenant. You are not a homeowner. You don't become a homeowner until you've purchased it at the end of the option time, period. That this property is held in the real owner's name, the person that you want to purchase it from, the whole time, and you are simply a tenant. And if you do not make your rental payments, if you are not keeping the property up, that landlord has the right to evict you. And when they evict you, you lose all payments, including your down payment, and your option price is gone.
Okay, so pay your rent on time. And don't draw on the walls with crayons. Okay, we've got, at least not until you actually own the house, then go nuts. But all right, so.
And before we move on, Dave, some of the rent-to-own agreements actually have clauses in them that allow the vendor of the property to go in and do periodic inspections on the property to make sure it is actually being maintained properly.
Okay, good to know. So far, I've been rather critical so far, so let's talk about some of the benefits of rent-to-own. Have you got any?
Well, it does allow people who normally would not be able to get into a home because of any number of reasons we've discussed, get into a home. Now, there's a price to be paid for doing that, but in the long term, that price being paid up front may be a good option for a lot of people. Not everybody can save up, you know, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 as a down payment. Not everybody has a clean credit pass due to any number of circumstances, be it divorce, unemployment, illness, whatever, and may need this time of adjustment to clean that record up so that they do become qualified to get a mortgage. And as housing prices rise, they have a need to get in sooner rather than later. Also, it is a way for them to be putting aside money for the purchase of the property. It's a forced savings, you know, for those people who have difficulty saving money. This way, this lease to own forces a monthly savings each month towards the down payment of the property.
All right. So let's talk about, we kind of have, but let's talk a little bit more about the downsides for this type of transaction for the buyer.
Well, these agreements work clearly better when there is a solid understanding of what the issue is that are preventing people from becoming a homeowner today. And those issues are usually either employment or credit related or sufficient down payment. These things are best served to understand exactly what is preventing people from owning a property today, what corrective action needs to be taken over a specified period of time or time sufficient enough to be able to address the issues and have a very solid plan of realistically being able to complete the agreement over that period of time to position yourself to be able to qualify for mortgage financing to complete the agreement. That's the ideal world.
I think the other benefit for a purchaser is that they get to live in the house and the neighborhood and see how much they like that house and how much they like the neighborhood. You know, is that house serving their needs? Have things changed where they might have bought, you know, a small two-bedroom property, or at least that's rent to purchase a small two-bedroom property, and then they have twins, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, or any number of things. There may be a job transfer. There may be better opportunities in another city or another province, you know, that would take them away from it. In this way, they are not locked into this property at this time, and they get to restart.
Mm-hmm. What about the vendor? Are there downsides for the vendor?
Absolutely. You know, like, this is a two-way street. For the vendor, they may have someone in there for a few years that doesn't take care of the property, who is casual about making payments, you know, who's...
decides at the end not to buy the property, and they were hoping to have the property sold.
And off their hands. I mean, if that was their point of doing a lease loan, was to no longer own the property themselves, then if this person at some point during the contract decides they don't want to live there, they don't want to own the property, and they leave, their vendor is back to square one. You know, and again, a lot of damage can be done by tenants to a property, you know, particularly if they think at the end they're not really going to be able to, that they haven't improved their credit position or their income position, and they know they're not going to be able to. They cannot be taking care of the property as well as you had hoped to. I mean, one of the reasons why particularly individual vendors like the rent-to-own process is because people feel that this is going to be their home and they're going to take care of it, and they do take care of it better than your average tenant would.
All right, finally, and you're going to have to explain one of the terms in this next question. What if the vendor loses the property through POS? What happens to the agreement? What do we mean by POS?
Now, Dave, I could really cause some major grief.
Okay, I'm reaching for the dump button right now.
Dave is concerned that we might get back on the same conversation that we had during the break.
No.
Okay. We don't want to go there. Anyway, POS is power of sale.
Okay.
And power of sale basically is for any reason, the person that's selling the property has not been making payments either on the property taxes or on any mortgages that may be in place for when they actually bought or owned the property. If they cease payment for any reason, all of a sudden either the creditor or the municipality will step in if there's tax arrears on the property and sell the property to get their money back. So basically, if the vendor no longer owns the property and they're not in a position to be able to close or sell on it because they can't sell a property that's no longer theirs, the actual tenants or people that have entered into the rent-to-own agreement as the purchaser can't buy something from a person who doesn't own it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that all of the money they have been paying towards this property, the down payment and the extra payments on the rent each month, are lost.
And this actually brings me to something I wanted to talk about, which is some tips out there for people either planning to purchase or sell a property this way.
Okay.
Okay.
We're going to take a break, and then we'll do the tips.
Is that all right? And nobody will be making hand motions.
That's what I'm trying to avoid, is no more flailing hand motions this time. We're going to get to the tips when we come back, and more with Kevin Power, Ann Turner, and Jess Turner of Power Mortgages. If you'd like to know more right now, go to powermortgages.ca, or you can call their offices at 519-886-1993. More of Ask the Experts coming up on 570 News. On the show today from Power Mortgages, Kevin Power, Ann Turner, and Jess Turner are my guests. And if you'd like to ask them a question, we probably have a little time left in the show, 519-570-2545, out of town, 1-800-570-5715, or *570, hands-free on your cell phone. And just before we turn the mic back over to Jess, some people have called them astounding. I think it was actually Kevin during the break. But it's time for Kevin's show specials.
Thank you, Dave. 5-year fixed-term mortgage closing within 120 days, 3.35%. We have a radio special that Dave managed to hammer out of me before the show. 5-year fixed-term money, new business, new clients only, subject to credit approval. Closing by the end of March, we are happy to offer an interest rate of 3.29%. Variable rate mortgages at prime even at 3%. And we have 7 and 10-year money available today, closing within 120 days at 3.99%.
Those were the hardest to beat out of you, you know.
Wow.
my shoulder and my elbow are still extremely sore.
Awesome.
So if you'd like to take advantage of these amazing rates, give Kevin a call right after the show at 519-240-2967, 519-240-2967. And now, Jess is going to give us some tips on the rent-to-own market.
We were talking about the power of sale problem, if the property does go into power of sale. Something that could be done ahead of time would be, first, make sure that the vendor is the actual owner of the property. Make sure they have clear title. If they're making mortgage payments, you may have in your lease an agreement to have proof that the payments are made every month, so that you know you're not running into this issue. Looking from the landlord's perspective, you may also want to check out your tenants, do a credit check, and make sure you're working with somebody who has a possibility of even purchasing this property at the end of the specified purchase date, because that can go two ways. Either one could be left hanging. When you're making a lease agreement, a purchase rent-to-own agreement, both sides should actually have legal representation creating this documentation for them. It is a difficult agreement. You want every term spelled out in detail, including who's doing the maintenance, what the purchase price is going to be, whether it be a set amount or if it is going to have an increased value as a percentage. Getting an appraisal and a home inspection. You know, it isn't the day that you're purchasing it now, but you still need to do that ahead of time. Find out what this property is worth. Find out if it's in good order. So just because you're not purchasing it for a few years doesn't mean you should skip out on things such as a home inspection. I think there's one other thing I just want to say there, is that sometimes people at the end of their term find they haven't got their employment or their credit in the place that they need to be in order to purchase. Something that could be written into the agreement is the option to extend the purchase date by, you know, 6 months or yet again. So that's another term that could be added into the lease to own.
An option on the option.
An option to extend your option so that you don't lose all the money that you've put into.
That makes sense. I think that makes a lot of sense. Now, we were talking off air as well, and although there are many, many, many very honest people out there, every now and then something bad happens because someone's committing some kind of fraud or a scam. And I know you also wanted to touch on a scam that's just kind of come to light in Toronto. Is that correct?
Yes, this is a fun one in Toronto. Now, there's going to be more and more of these. People are so creative on how they're making money. But somebody created their website, created a company name, and
Solutions
Homes, and basically put themselves out there as an investor group that has homes that you can rent to own. But what the guy was doing on the side was finding people that had properties they wanted to rent and saying, I've got somebody that would like to rent your property. So they'd act as a go-between, and they would collect. They would set up with the people who are the renters, who think they're doing a lease to own. They would actually collect the down payment. They would collect the rent plus the increased portion. But the actual owners of the property don't know this is going on. They think somebody is just helping them rent their building out. And they're getting money via this middleman for rent for a little while till he stops giving it to them at all. He starts collecting all this money in cash and not putting, you know, a name on the receipt. And then eventually the owners, you know, give an eviction notice to what they think are the tenants. And the tenants think, you know, that they've been
people?
Who are these people? I've been paying, you know, Solutions Homes. They've been getting my money, and it actually hasn't been passed on.
In fact, Solutions Home was
never the owner.
Never the owner. They were telling the landlords that they were a company that would find them good tenants and manage the tenants' payments to them, and they would receive their rent, the rent that they wanted each month from them, and telling the future, the rent-to-own people, purchasers, that they owned the home and that they were going to do create this rent-to-own thing. The thing that was so interesting about this was that these future home buyers, these rent-to-owners, were signing contracts in the parking lot of Tim Hortons.
Well, they were handing over money that way, and he asked for cash. But what really threw them off was he actually had these, in the offer to purchase, he had himself as the vendor to the property. So he, you know,
wow.
They didn't, I mean, there wasn't the due diligence there of making sure who the actual owner of the property is and if there's clear title.
So that's why it is incredibly important to do one of those checks before you get into one of these deals. Find out who actually owns the home.
Have a lawyer representing you.
It's much easier to give a lawyer a few hundred dollars right up front to make sure everything is on the up and up than to lose several thousand dollars in the end.
Now, this didn't just happen to one couple. It started with one couple, and they contacted the police who said, well, this is a civil matter. And they started posting things online saying, watch out for this company, finding a whole pile of people who this has happened to. So now it's actually being investigated because it isn't just one couple.
An interesting thing about these rent-to-owns is even though people are technically in the property as a tenant, there is no protection afforded to either the purchaser or the seller of the property under the Landlord-Tenant Act. If you get somebody that defaults as a seller, and or if they are in a power of sale situation, they lose the property prior to completion. People are, if the sheriff shows up at the door and changes the locks on the door, people are getting out on that particular day. They're not going to be able to go through a tribunal and extend their stay in the property for 6, 8, 10, 12 months prior to being evicted from the property because it is not actually a landlord-tenant dispute. Same situation for the vendor of the property. If they get somebody in there that is that's not making the required monthly payments, how do they deal with them? All of a sudden, it's a civil matter. You can't really do anything under the Landlord-Tenant Act in terms of remedying, being able to evict them from the property. So a lot of gray, unknown areas in a rent-to-own agreement as well.
Okay. So the lesson learned here is that if anyone asks you for anything other than some Timbits in the parking lot of a Tim Hortons, red flag, and do your due diligence before, as Jess said, get a lawyer involved, pay them their fee, make sure that everything's on the up and up before you get into one of these deals. Or maybe you want to talk to a mortgage specialist like, oh God, who? Kevin Power, Jan Turner, or Jess Turner of Power Mortgages.
Make sure you're going to be in a position to buy the home to be approved for a mortgage come purchase date.
Okay. A few seconds left. Any other tips for us?
Oh, just getting back very quickly to the Bank of Montreal 5-year special interest rate of 2.99. What people really didn't realize in that, and getting back to my statement about things are not always as they seem. First of all, the maximum amortization of that program was 25 years. And the prepayment privileges were actually reduced by 50%.
Ah.
So there was a trade-off for getting that interest rate. Plus, that special rate special was really only on for a period of 2 weeks.
Okay. Well, there again, good to know. Do your homework. Thanks so much for being on the show again, guys.
Thank you.
See you in 2 weeks.
Absolutely. And thank you for listening. More of Ask the Experts is coming up after the noon news here on 570 News.